Hey there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Andrea Lorien, one of the producers on Vermont Edition. And I wanted to let you know that what you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Short and sweet, right to the good stuff. Thank you.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lefrak. Tis the season for giving gifts. Tonight marks the first night of Hanukkah, for one, and many other religions and cultures share gifts around this season. Shopping, though, can be stressful and expensive. But if done with care, it can also be a way to show gratitude to people you love and to support some local businesses along the way. Today is Vermont Edition's annual holiday gift guide show. We're highlighting artisans, artists, makers, and shops in our region to help you buy local this holiday season. Our guests today both run December markets that give local artists and artisans the chance to sell their work. First in the studio with me is Zach Williamson. He's the event and festival director at Burlington City Arts, where he helps produce the Burlington Winter Market. Zach, welcome.
Thank you so much, Michaela. Great to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you with us. We are also joined by Eliza West, an organizer with the Vermont Queer Craft Fair. Eliza, welcome.
Hi, thanks so much.
Well, we are so excited to have both of you here today because you two know a lot about what the makers in our state are doing this December. Zach, let's start with you. Can you just give us an overview of what the Burlington Winter Market is for someone who doesn't live in this region?
Sure, yeah. The Burlington Winter Market is really a great event that we've been holding now since 2020 in the middle of City Hall Park. So we work together, Burlington City Arts and Love Burlington. It is a very clear city departmental partnership. We produce this market and build these, you know, putting artists outside in the winter to sell their work is tricky. So we build these really unique sheds and provide a ton of infrastructure to make it a really warm and inviting place, invite shoppers to come, look at the goods, linger, and experience a rotating, one thing that's really interesting, and we can talk more about it, but a rotating cast of artists and vendors that appear each weekend over the course of the month and a half.
So if you went last weekend, it might be very different from what you'll see next weekend there.
Exactly. So we have 20 artists and vendors out there at a time. Usually they sign up for a weekend, which consists of three sessions, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And some of those vendors make multiple appearances, but some are only there once or twice. So every weekend you go, there's a different assortment of people out there selling their art, selling their wares, and enjoying a great time.
So before we go any further, Tell me, how are you keeping those vendors warm? Because as we just heard in the forecast, the highs are the 20s today.
Yeah, exactly. So first, I mean, hats off to the artists. Hats definitely on to the artists that are signing up and willing to do this. It speaks to their, you know, their ambition, their desire to connect with community and get to sell their work and produce their work and have a place to be right in downtown Burlington. But we do go great lengths to making it work out there. So it's really like building a small village. Back in 2020, at the height of the pandemic, we wanted to continue this market, which used to happen to, just one weekend only in Contois Auditorium in City Hall. So a very different event where we could cram, you know, pre-COVID days, we crammed 30 or 40 artists into Contois and went for one big blowout weekend. Out in City Hall Park, we spread it out across. So it started on November 18th and it goes till December 23rd. And we really create this village out there. We worked back in 2020 with Generator and they helped design these very unique sheds. It's all made on a CNC router and assembles together. So we start on a Monday building these sheds. We had great support from our presenting sponsor, Vermont Construction, helped us assemble the sheds. And then we run power and power distribution. It's really like, it's hundreds of amps of power to power all of these infrared heaters that we run into each booth. So every booth has electricity, has an infrared heater over their head. The roof keeps the snow and the walls keep the wind down to a minimum. And so it works out, you know, it's not like you're inside by any means, but it is possible for someone to stand out there for 6 or 7 hours and make it.
That's fascinating. I didn't know how what lengths you all went to create these structures.
Yeah,
it's
a huge endeavor for sure. It takes a lot of time because we also, you know, for the shopping experience, obviously you're not inside the shed if you're shopping. So we have those top hat style propane heaters out there. We have 3 patio fire pits that are going. And we also make a very strong point of always having a beverage provider who has warm drinks to help sustain the shopping experience outdoors.
Yeah, hot chocolate, very important.
Definitely.
Well, Eliza West with the Vermont Queer Craft Fair, tell us a little bit about your market. I understand there's an indoor and an outdoor component, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the second year that we're going to be holding this Queer Craft Fair. Last year, this started as a friend of mine who thought this would be a great idea, thought there were going to be just a handful of folks who would be interested in vending. And the interest just sort of blew us away. And we sort of scrambled to find the biggest space we could. And this year we had many, 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 many more people who were interested. And we said, last year we were in the old Labor Hall in Barrie, which is a space we really love. And we wanted to bring some love to Barrie again this year, sort of in a post-flood situation. We realized that if we wanted to have as many vendors as we wanted to have, the thing to do was to put some of them outside and some of them inside. And so we'll have about 30 vendors inside the old Labor Hall and another 30 set up in the parking lot. We're also definitely thinking about how to keep those vendors warm and sort of have our fingers crossed. The forecast right now is looking pretty good for that weekend. But I think it's going to be a fabulous time. For me, one of the things that I learned in the pandemic is that Vermonters are hardy and we can do stuff outside. We all own snow pants. We just bring our mittens and it's going to be a great time.
That's very true. Well, listeners, you can call in and share your suggestions for shopping local this year. Our number is 800-639-2211. You can also email vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. And ahead of today's show, we got an email from Morgan, who wrote in to highlight Vermont Wood Shop. They write, "It's a special little wood shop located in Rutland featuring the artistry of master woodworker Randy Crossman. Vermont Wood Shop prioritizes high-quality handcrafted wood products that range from rustic wooden trail signs to cutting boards to coasters to ornaments to reproductions of Vermont sleigh tables and highly intricate wooden jigsaw puzzles." So a lot on offer there at Vermont Wood Shop. And thanks, Morgan, for writing in. Zach, with the Burlington Winter Market, let's dive into some of the vendors that are part of it this year. What's one vendor that jumps to mind that you'd like to highlight first?
Oh, sure. It's awesome to get to talk about the different people there. So yeah, as I said, we are thrilled with the excitement about this market. We had 109 applicants who applied to be part of this market. And when they do that, they submit their work and examples of their work and talk about what their presentation might look like. And then they also can tell us what weekends they want to be there. So as we mentioned, out of this pool, it ends up a pool about 81 different artists and small businesses, then we assign them an individual weekend over the course of this, you know, over the course of these 16 sessions, which sessions are going to be at. So I can talk, there's a few people that I would pull out for this particular Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, let's start with one.
Yeah, sure. So I would love to talk about Hazel Buds Clay Company. Again, a small artist that I think is really worth highlighting. They really use their desire to bring attention to conservation and the reuse of materials. They use found materials, and then they create sculptured works that really look at the possibilities of sustainability and regrowth around us. So things like jewelry, planters, candles, ornaments, and home decor. And I really think that's an interesting look at, like, someone who's taking their interest, you know, a very strong environmental interest, and turning it into art and using this platform to get it out there. So I think that I look forward to seeing Hazel Buds Clay Company this weekend out there.
That sounds like a great gift for somebody who cares about those same principles and wants a very, very Vermont values.
For sure.
Gift.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's great. Eliza, what's one vendor? I know you have many, and I hope we can go through many of them over this next hour. But what's one vendor that you're really excited about that will be at the craft fair in Barrie this year?
Yeah. So we tried really hard to get vendors from like all different walks of life. And in particular, we're trying to get vendors who are both younger and older at this fair. And so we have some awesome teen vendors. I'm really excited about Pride Pottery, which is actually a club out of North Country Union High School, which is up in Newport. And they sell pottery decorated in the colors of various Pride flags. And all of that goes to support sort of arts outreach trips. And that club is run by the pottery and sculpture teacher at the school there. And I actually got a chance to vend with them last weekend at the Highland Center for the Arts. And they're just like a really great, enthusiastic group of kids who are so there to be doing what they're doing.
So will the students be coming to Barrie to help vend for the craft fair?
They absolutely will. Yep.
That's great. Well, let's go to the phones. And listeners, if you have a suggestion, our number is 800-639-2211 for our local gift guide show. We have Jude and Cabot on the line. Jude, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I was just calling in to lend my support to the Queer Craft Fair and to give a deep and heartfelt thank you to the organizers. My partner and I and our landmates participated last year. We are the owners of the Anne Boleyn Hammer, Skull and Cupcakes Jewelry, Rubina Designs, and Shady Lady. And I just have to say it's the best craft fair that we have ever participated in. The organizers did their utmost to make us feel comfortable, and the vibe was just so welcoming and celebratory. It's the most fun I've ever had working, probably in my whole life. I really, really enjoyed it. I just can't say enough good things about it. It was so good to see so many people out and about. And I do mean that in every sense of the word. Yeah, just really great opportunity to connect with folks in the queer community and to support people who've really taken some hits, you know, recently in so many ways.
Well, thank you so much, Jude, for calling in and sharing that. I just want to repeat that Jude is calling with the Anvil and Hammer, in case folks couldn't hear that with their connection. Eliza, what's it like to hear that type of feedback for this craft fair as it enters its second year?
Oh, yeah, it's so great. You know, I think we created this event, me and the four other organizers who run this, because it felt like an opportunity to, you know, find, create a community space, find some joy together. And our community has really seen that and felt that. And it has just been really amazing to create something that's really meaningful for people. And I think we've had a lot of conversations about it being an opportunity for people to come together and share queer joy and just sort of be in community, be really present as who they are, get to be themselves. So it's more than a craft fair, right? It really feels like a community event for us. And it's really nice to hear that that is coming through and is felt by our vendors.
And Eliza, one thing I forgot to ask about when you were just talking about the indoor-outdoor aspects of the craft fair is that I saw that there's going to be a special time that is like focused on folks who have sensory issues. It'll be like a low sensory period of the craft fair that's inside. And there's also going to be, I think the indoor section is, it's required for people to wear masks to help folks who are immunocompromised go shopping. Is that right?
Yeah. Absolutely. So we really, part of that community is being really, really inclusive of all the different folks in our community. We last year had a fully indoor event that was fully masked, and we had a lot of folks come to us and say that that felt really good because they didn't feel comfortable going to other craft fair events. That's becoming less and less of a thing. And so it was really valuable and important for them to have that space. And we wanted to continue that again this year. It seemed logical to us for most of the outside fair to be unmasked, but we really wanted that 1 hour when people who were feeling really immunocompromised or who get overwhelmed by a big, loud fair to have a chance to experience it in a little bit of a calmer way. And so that first hour of the fair from 10 to 11 is going to be that access hour. We're going to ask everybody to wear a mask for that hour inside and out. And we're going to keep the volume a little bit lower and just try and make sure the atmosphere for that first part of the fair is really, really chill.
All right, Zach, I know you got lots of vendors that you're working with this year. What's another one that you're particularly excited about?
For sure. I think I'm looking ahead to December 15, 16, and 17, so not this weekend, but next weekend. We're always thrilled to welcome back Claymore Lighting. If you don't know Clay's work, he's an amazing artist here in Burlington based out of The Generator. He is, you probably have seen his work more than maybe know his name. He's the guy who collects driftwood all across the shores of Lake Champlain and then builds really unique and amazing, usually, lighting units, either a table lamp or a chandelier or a sculpture. With the sticks and light, and he really combines the, you know, practicality of lighting and the nature of our environment with the sticks. So you can actually see Clay's work in City Hall Park. Back in 2021, we commissioned Clay to build four very large curved sculptures that evoke winter and snowbanks and elf hats, maybe, depending on how you look at it.
I remember those.
Yeah, they're there. So we store those all year and bring them back. It really helps to create that environment we're looking for. And Clay's also had work up at the Spruce Peak area in Stowe and all across the state and beyond, actually. So he's going to be there December 15th and 16th, and he'll be selling his different smaller, not huge sculptures, but smaller lighting units, and also some of his work with bowls and table lamps and lampshades as well. So really, really super unique work that we're thrilled to have out there in the park.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, Eliza, I know you already talked about some high school students who are going to be selling at the craft fair in Barrie, but I do think I remember that there is also going to be an even younger artist there who's only 11 years old.
Yeah, it's true. Our youngest artist this year, I think, is 11, and they are going to be vending there with their parents. They are not someone who has vended at our fair before. One of the cool things about our fair is that we really do welcome and encourage folks who've never vended before. So I think we have a dozen vendors where this is going to be their first craft fair ever. And I'm really excited to have them have an opportunity to get the affirmation and the love of a community coming and looking at their work. I know that can be really validating if you're sort of experimenting with your artistic practice and sort of lets you sort of launch and step off to the next level of being a maker. If you get folks in your community coming in and telling you that your stuff is great.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Well, I think that's one of the many reasons why folks love shopping local, not just for the thing that they're buying, but as a way to support somebody who's trying to follow a passion of theirs. Well, let's go back to the phones. We have a call coming in from Mary in Stowe. Mary, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mary Skelton in Stowe, and my company is My Own Maple. And what distinguishes us from everyone else is I create custom labels for 8-ounce glass bottles of maple syrup. So people email me either their logo, if it's a business, or a photograph and whatever text they want. I create a logo, send it back to them for approval or whatever changes they want, and then run the labels and put them on maple syrup, usually within less than 24 hours.
Wow, that's a quick turnaround, Mary. How did you get started doing this work?
Oh, it was fun. We decided at our church, Blessed Sacrament, to give away a bottle of maple syrup with a picture of the church on it to the person that came to each Mass from the furthest destination. And the first person that received a bottle actually came from Hawaii.
Huh. Wow. Well, that is quite a journey for that bottle. Well, Mary, thank you so much for calling in and telling us about your business. Remind us what it's called.
It's called My Own Maple. It's an online store. MyOwnMaple.com is the address.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Mary. Next up, we have Sam in Lowell, I believe. Sam, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. I just want to mention the Front Gallery on 6 Barrie Street in Montpelier, which is an artist-run gallery, and we always have art on the walls. But during December, we have a holiday table with everything under $100. And the Front Gallery is open on Fridays from 4 to 7 and on Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 5. And we really appreciate the bringing art to the area, and we feel we do a good job. So.
Oh, well, Sam, thanks so much for highlighting that. And it sounds like it'll be open this weekend. A great chance for folks to go shopping there in Montpelier. Yeah. And listeners, if you're in Montpelier or Brattleboro, Bennington, Newport, St. Johnsbury, we want to hear where you shop locally for the holidays. Or if you have a small business yourself and you have something special that you're selling this holiday season, now is your chance. Give us a call, 800-639-2211. Now, Zach, as we talk about building community and the role that these markets can play in doing that, I'm curious what your perspective has been on, you know, the difficult rap that downtown Burlington has gotten over the last couple months and years. I mean, City Hall Park shows up in the news a lot, sometimes for pretty tough reasons. How has that affected the market and maybe how you think about the market's role in the city?
Yeah, for sure. Happy to talk about that. I think, you know, for years we've known that markets or concerts or any kind of cultural community activity helps, right? It's a good thing. And it both supports the artist or the performer. It also builds community, creates place. I think with all the challenges that we've seen in Burlington over, as you said, months, past years, it just brings that more into focus. So everything we do in City Hall Park is super intentional and goes towards that effort to bring people to the park, to help keep it a safe and welcoming place. And we go the extra mile, right? We know it's a bit of an uphill climb, so we make sure our marketing is robust and welcoming. We advertise that we do have, fire pits and things to do out there and kids' games and activities. We try to create a really welcoming place. And with that, we do things, there's a large group of people working in the city of, for the city of Burlington and also partners in the downtown area that are doing things, everything from, two free hours of parking or, making sure Church Street is always snow free and welcoming and slippery. They're melting the ice and all the things we do from the tree lighting and the lights on Church Street to the market in City Hall Park. We are working to create a place that is still important in our community and still invites people to come down and feel safe. We are taking, very obvious measures. The mayor has announced in the Church Street Marketplace that we have additional security now every single day from 7 days a week between now and early January, additional security on Church Street from noon to midnight. That's a huge step. That presence, that very clear presence of police or private security, it's a combination of both, do help people feel safer and does help to deter, bad choices or bad activities. So it is an ongoing effort, but there's no doubt about it that getting a market on its feet in City Hall Park does a lot of great work in that placemaking and positive feeling in City Hall Park. Mm-hmm. I will say we also do, we did 100 events in City Hall Park over the summer, and that all ties into it too. We're both thrilled to support Vermont performers and concerts and have a place for them to perform, and we're equally thrilled to see hundreds and thousands of people still feel safe enough to come to City Hall Park and make sure that this is a welcoming place for everybody.
Mm. And as we talk about that interplay between the city and the market, Eliza, what impact do you think the fair has had and could have on local businesses in Barrie?
Yeah, so this is one of the really interesting pieces of feedback that we've gotten. This is actually the third event that we've run. So we ran this same fair last winter in Barrie, and then we ran an event in Plainfield this summer, the Queer Arts Festival. And after both of those events, we got some really amazing feedback from our vendors saying that they had a really, sort of economically successful. Folks had a good time. They also made some money, which is, it's an important part of that. And we also got feedback from both of those towns that they had really good days. So I think that Positive Pie in Plainfield during the festival this summer had one of its best days. And actually, we got a shout out from the mayor of Barrie last year saying how great it was to the business that we brought to town. And we're really thrilled to do that again this year, knowing that a lot of those businesses are still in flood recovery. It feels really good to be in that community. We're going to have some food vendors at our fair to help make it possible for folks to have a good time and stay longer. But we also know that tons of folks are going to go out into the town and do more shopping there while they're in town for the craft fair.
Hmm. Well, Eliza West with the Vermont Queer Craft Fair coming up December 16th. Thank you so much for joining us and talking to us about the fair.
Thanks so much.
Well, let's go back to the phones. We have a call from Sam in Montpelier. Sam, you're on the air. Go ahead. Hi, Sam.
During this time of giving, yes.
Oh, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I just wanted to remind everybody during this time of giving that following the recovery of from the flood in Montpelier, that Bush Spieler, the record store, has just opened within the last month, and that I know the community has rallied around them to help them get started and make sure that they are whole to the extent possible. They had a great GoFundMe, but I think the best thing we can do, especially now, is to rally around our local businesses and see that they truly are community partners and truly making this a great place to live. So I just want to remind everyone, Bush Spieler's Records is back open through the holiday season, that we should support local business, especially those who are so dramatically affected by the flood.
Well, Sam, thank you. That's such an important message. We really appreciate you calling in, and so glad to hear that they're back open now following the flooding. We also got an email from Logan who writes, hey, June Stationery in Richmond will be hosting an indoor winter pop-up market this Saturday from 9 to 4 with 9 different local craftspeople. Please come by. Well, thanks, Logan, for writing in. Let's add one more voice here. I want to bring in Akshata Nayak of Jericho. She's the founder of Little Pataka. It's a company that sells toys, books, and media for children, all featuring diverse characters. Akshata, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I heard that Pataka, part of the name of your company, means firecracker in Hindi. So your company is called, yes, Little Firecracker. I loved that.
Yes,
tell us more about the inspiration for the name and the business.
Yeah, absolutely. I truly believe that that's what kids are. They are full of potential. They need just a spark of encouragement, and they're little firecrackers. My daughter, who was 2 years old when I launched this whole business, is the inspiration behind that name, because the day she was born, I told her that she was a little firecracker that was going to have a big impact.
Aww.
And so that's what the company is named after.
And tell us about what your company sells.
So we do high-quality, screen-free media products. Like, we have books that teach languages. We have games like mix-and-match games that help kids look beyond stereotypes when it comes to professions they can be when they grow up. So they're like mix-and-match jigsaw puzzles. We have affirmation cards that show 20 different diverse characters just living their best life, but also, you know, teaching kids wonderful things about themselves, like I am patient, I am remarkable, but also how they interact with others, as in I'm a good friend, I love to learn about others, I respect others, even if they're not like me. So those are our affirmation cards. And then we have our new product, which is an anatomy-based jigsaw puzzle, which uses 4 diverse characters with, without disabilities, different races, genders, to show that no matter what you look like on the outside, you're pretty much the same on the inside. So a running theme across our products is authentic inclusion, where we try to show kids in very subtle and easy, simple ways that there is more to us that connects us than separates us, which I think is very important right now, especially where there is so much of an us versus them ideology that's spreading.
Mm. I love that idea of introducing young children to these concepts. And I think a lot of parents of kids or caregivers might wonder, when's the right time to talk to my kids about you know, people who look differently than they do, for example. Why do you find it important to introduce those concepts for young children?
Yeah, absolutely. Very good question. And the reason I got so heavily involved in this, because my background, I'm a biochemist and nutritionist. So doing children's media was nowhere on my list of things at all. But I got involved in this when I started reading about children's media, looking for things for my daughter, who is a biracial girl. My husband's American, I'm Indian. And so while I was looking for products and books and things for her, I came across this statistic that said that by the age of 5 years, social biases set in based on race, gender, and culture. And that just made me think that these are kids before they enter kindergarten, right? And if you think about these kids and how what we talk to them about, how easily we dismiss their opinions if we ask them about them at all. When I started thinking about all of that is when I realized that if we are not actively participating in these conversations with these children, they are passively absorbing this information from their environment. And that is the people they're surrounded by, the media that they're exposed to. And so I strongly believe that we can have a huge impact by changing the media that they're exposed to. And so that's how this started. So is there an age when you have to start having these conversations? It's, I would say, right from the start. It doesn't have to be anything you sit down and have conversations about specifically with anybody, but just by virtue of seeing illustrations and stories and characters that look like themselves or look like others, one builds confidence when you see yourself reflected. But when you see somebody who looks like someone you know in a similar situation or having similar concerns, that builds empathy. And both of these are leadership qualities, which I think we need to encourage in children.
Well, Akshata, what are some of the products that are coming down the pike this holiday season or in 2024? And where can people find your work?
Well, right now we have everything available on our website, which is littlepataka.com, P-A-T-A-K-H-A. And then, of course, we should always support our local businesses. So we have Phoenix Books here in Vermont that has been a strong supporter early on. So has The Flying Pig. You have Turner Toys in Williston. You have Woodbury Mountain Toys, which is in Montpelier, that is just recovering from all of the flood damage and getting ready for the holidays now. So there are a lot of different local stores and museums like the Echo Museum and their Tinkering Turtle News store. They all carry the products. And so if we can support the local businesses right now, that's always a brilliant way to do it because they have other products from local artists available as well. Coming down the line, we have some very interesting ideas for next year. We want to create more of a book series of characters that talk about different science and other subjects, but in a way that, you know, makes more sense to kids. So if you talk about the digestive system, instead of talking about this is what happens to the food you put in your mouth, you talk to them about what 4 and 5 year olds are interested in, which is, you know, poop and farts, or you talk about the immune system and they're more interested in boogers. So how does that fit into all of it? Mm. And then we also have some ideas about getting kids involved in cooking and understanding stories behind recipes. So those are some things that are coming up for the next year.
Oh, well, sounds very exciting. Akshata Nayak of Jericho, the founder of Little Pataka, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me and happy holidays, everyone.
And I'm glad she brought up the Tinkering Turtle toy shop. I drive by it with my 2.5-year-old every day. And every day she goes, that looks like a good toy shop for me. But we haven't stopped it yet. We'll need to. Let's take one more call before you have to take a break. Betsy in Manchester is with us. Betsy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. Great. Thank you. Yes, as I was listening, it just all these wonderful stores were springing to mind that are right here in Manchester, Vermont. We have been known for outlets for many, many years, but we have such a variety of really fabulous shops that are independently owned. And what's so cool is that many of them are owned and operated and by women. And I'm just so proud of them. And I was just going through the list in my mind, and I thought some of your viewers might like to take a drive to Manchester. We've got art galleries, restaurants, outdoor activities as well. But there's just such a variety for every kind of gift you could ever imagine.
Betsy, is there one place in particular you'd like to give a quick shout out to?
Oh, my God, I would feel so badly leaving people out because we've got Mother Myrix and Vermont Kitchen Supply and the Mountain Goat. We've got Zippy Chicks, which is a consignment shop for new and used women's fashion. Spring and Harbor is a fabulous boutique. And then the Northshire Bookstore is now owned by 3 very talented women, and they have everything. Children's clothing, toys, gifts, along with books. But if I had to talk about one thing that is very near and dear to my heart is a shop that just went through a renovation called Catbird Studio. and they are located on Main Street in Manchester. And they had a shop down in Bennington at one point. Some of your listeners might remember that.
And Betsy, we are going to have to take a break in just a moment here.
Oh, okay. This shop is the best merchandised gift shop that I have ever come across, Catbird Studio. But there are so many that are all concentrated right here. So do come and check us out.
Well, thanks. Thank you for the shout out for Manchester at large and for all of those great shops there. Zach, is there another vendor that you're really excited about who will be taking part in the winter market this year?
Yeah, for sure. I'm really looking forward. December 15th, 16th, and 17th, we'll have May's Fiber Art and Beading there. May is an artist who runs her own business out of Winooski. Her work is really, really interesting. She uses Mayuki beads, which are a Japanese type of bead. There are some are brass and some are sterling silver. And I don't even know what this is, but she uses a rigid heddle loom. And from that loom, she, with her very own hands, makes wearable art, including scarves and ponchos and sweaters. And she also makes, I think it's interesting, she refers to wearable art and usable art. Usable art being wall hangings, table runners, and placemats. So I am looking forward to meeting May the weekend after next at our market, and I'm really thrilled to be able to present an artist like that who's making really unique, interesting work right here in Winooski.
Oh, wow, fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, we've gotten a number of emails in. Janice writes that she'd like to give a shout out to a hidden gem in Putney. Phoenix Gifts offers a fascinating collection of gifts from all over at a on all price levels. You'll find it upstairs at Vermont's oldest general store, the Putney General Store on Main Street. We also got an email from Cindy who writes, the newly rebranded Vermont Marshmallow Company crafts an amazing updated take on pillowy marshmallows. Woman, chef owned small business, only 4 years old. All right, getting lots of calls in, so I'll ask you to try to keep it brief with your recommendations. So I know there's lots of enthusiasm here. Let's start with Joe in Waterbury. Joe, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. This weekend at the Mud Studio in Waterbury, we're going to be having our annual holiday pottery sale. It's going to be Saturday from 10:30 to 5 and Sunday from 12 to 4. We're going to have an expanded selection from what we normally have throughout the rest of the year. And, it's going to be good. It's going to be about 25 potters from our studio here, and we're hoping to see a lot of people come down.
Oh, great. Well, thanks so much, Joe. And I should also note for listeners, we're going to be collecting all of these recommendations and compiling them into a gift guide that we'll share on vermontpublic.org if you didn't catch some of those details. Let's go next to Penelope in Craftsbury. Penelope, go ahead.
Yes, hi, this is Penelope. And I don't think people often think about Hardwick as a shopping destination, but Main Street has really exploded in the past several years, and we've got Whistle Emporium, which always just does an amazing job with their merchandising. They're right across from the Galaxy Bookshop. We've got Birdsong Beer and Wine. We've got, you know, a flower shop with a new chocolates, handmade chocolate shop above it. Mm. And you can always stop at the new Cork and Fork to have a great holiday meal. You can start at one end and go all the way down to the Great Buffalo Market, Mountain Market, and find great things everywhere. So.
Oh, wow.
Yay, Hardwick.
That sounds great. Thanks for the shout out for Hardwick. We appreciate it. And now to Brattleboro with Heidi. Heidi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling to tell you about two great things going on in Brattleboro and Southern Vermont. In Brattleboro at the Vermont Craft Emporium on Canal Street at the marketplace. There are over 60 crafters and artists in the same location, and that's open every day except Mondays. And then in Wilmington, for the four Saturdays in December, there's a pop-up at a place called the Art House, which is at 12 South Main Street, and that, too, has all local artists and crafters selling their wares.
Oh, perfect. Great recommendations. And you remind me that we got an email earlier from a listener named Carol Ann who writes that they want to give a shout out to Buddy's Pet Shop in Cotton Mill in Brattleboro. The proprietor, Michael, is very helpful, Carol Ann writes. They have a great selection, toys, coats, treats, etc., many of which are sourced locally. So thanks so much for that suggestion. As I'm listening to all these different folks call in, Zach, I'm wondering how in the world you take on the task of curating something like a winter market to make sure that you're including lots of different types of folks, not leaving out somebody right. who might really want to be in. That must be a really tough job.
It is. It is. It's always hard to figure out who gets this opportunity and who might not get this opportunity. So with that in mind, we are very careful and want to involve the community. And the way we do that is we do an open call. And this is also just coincidentally how we do the summer market as well. We have an open call for participation, whether you're an artist, you're a small retailer, you're a bakery, you're a coffee shop. We ask you to apply and fill out a very accessible, very open application, just sharing what you would like to do, what your work is, what your background is. Again, asking for some examples, photos of your work or sketches even of your work. We also make sure that we hold Zoom meetings to discuss this application, make sure no one's getting, you know, stumbling on the application itself, because we do want to make sure this is open to everybody. And then we assemble an anonymous group of community people. So we ask other artists from the community, we ask business owners, and we ask chefs or restaurant owners. We get a team of people together who review. It's quite a daunting task. We review all 109 applications
wow.
and grade them, but not just on quality of work. I mean, that's important, obviously, but also on, is this a new business? Is it an existing business? Because we do see this as an incubator to some extent, where we want to support people who are trying this out, right? You might not be in a brick and mortar yet, or maybe you aren't distributing your artwork to stores around the area, and this might be your one shot. So if we can help someone get a platform and put them in the winter market, we really want to do that. So we ask that community panel to look at all the angles. And then in the end, unfortunately, there is a score, and we have to look at how many people we can accept based on how many weekend slots we have available. And it's an arduous task where we make sure that we don't have all the jewelers one weekend and all the ceramicists another. We try to make sure that every weekend has a good breadth of options for a shopper, so it creates a good shopping experience.
Wow, a lot of curating
yes,
to do.
So there's a lot that goes into it.
Well, let's take a couple more calls here. We have Andrew in Moortown. Andrea, excuse me, in Moortown. Andrea, go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So I run a music program for babies, toddlers, and preschoolers called Musical Munchkins with Andrea. And it is, we do singing and dancing and props and puppets and drums and all kinds of instruments with live music. And I'm in Montpelier at the Monteverde Music School. And we're also in Stowe, and we do classes for weekends and during the day with parents and their caregivers.
That sounds great. Well, what a great opportunity for someone to maybe give a gift certificate or to go support one of your performances. Thanks so much, Andrea. Yeah. I'm going to hop in just because we only have a few minutes left. I want to get to a few more folks. Thank you so much, though. Let's go next to Ruby in Brattleboro. Ruby, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Ruby Rice, and I'm a member of the Harmony Collective Art Gallery. We're at 49 Elliott Street in Brattleboro. And we have a wide variety of artists, many showing for the very first time, and then quite a few of us are seasoned artists. And right now I'm having I'm a featured artist at the gallery, and I do mixed media fiber work. But in this gallery, it's really cool because there are really unusual things, one-of-a-kind creations that you will never see anywhere else. So I recommend you come by and enjoy our shop.
Oh.
And artists run this. Yeah, we run it.
So artist run, Harmony Gallery. Thank you so much, Ruby. We appreciate you calling in. And then finally, we have Andrew in Randolph. Andrew, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Andrew Graham. I'm the administrator of the Vermont Farmers Market Association. So I just wanted to remind listeners that there are nearly 20 farmers markets still operating in Vermont from now through the holidays, from the Champlain Islands all the way down to Brattleboro. And you can find some truly locally made gift items and, of course, a lot of delicious food for your holiday meals at those farmers markets. And if you want to find your local market, you can find the farmers market directory on the NOFA Vermont website, which is nofavt.org.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Andrew, for highlighting all the work that Vermont farmers do. We also got an email from Judith who writes, an artist I'd like to shout out is Meredith Muse of the Shady Lady, whose Montpelier studio was devastated by the flooding. They'll feature beautiful masks, drawings, and sculpture at their studio. So thank you, Judith, for writing in. Zach, as we wrap up here, tell us how folks can learn more about your market, how many more iterations of it are coming down the pike this December. What do people need to know?
Sure. So happy to. We are exactly halfway through our market season. So we had a total of 16 sessions or market days starting back on November 18th. And we're looking forward to two more full weekends. So this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then next Friday, December 15th through 17th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we even have a Friday and Saturday, December 22nd and 23rd for those last-minute shoppers. So we're out there all the time. The hours are built around the key shopping hours that we found over the years. So Fridays, it's from 2 to 6. Saturdays, it's from 12 to 6. And Sundays, it's 12 to 4. That can be confusing. And so we are really trying to make sure that and if we're asking artists to stand out there in the cold, we want it to be a good experience for them and a busy experience. So with that, I encourage people to go to loveburlington.org. And click on the BTV Winter Market. Not only will you see the times there, but we have a great map that shows which vendors and which artists are there which weekend, and even where they are in the market. It's a pretty cool plug-in there. So go to loveburlington.org, click on BTV Winter Market, and you can learn more about all these great vendors. And I really encourage people to get out there and celebrate these artists and small businesses. I have to remind myself when I'm shopping that those are the creators right there. So you might see a block print, and it's easy to walk past, but if you lean in and talk to the person. They're out there. They made it. There's more intention behind it. There might have a cause. They might have a story. And that simple piece can get a whole new meaning and be a real gift, a real joy to buy and give to somebody.
Mm. Well, what a great message to end on. The importance of connecting these crafts, these objects with the people in our community who are making them. Zach Williamson, the event and festival director at Burlington City Arts, who's helping to organize the Burlington Winter Market. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having us.